Hello, and welcome to Business Talk. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS. And I'd like to introduce the host of this week's episode. He's the editor of Business West. Here's Joe Bednar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Business Talk. We have a great show for you today. Our guest is Mick Cordoff. He's the chief operator and executive chef at the Log Cabin, Delaney House, and D Hotel and Spa. Very happy to have you here on Business Talk, Mick.
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
So we've talked to you many times over the years, and we appreciate that. And we've had events at your at the Log Cabin, so we're familiar with your business. For listeners who may not know the story, tell us about your history with the Log Cabin Delaney family of hospitality businesses and your longtime partnership with Peter Ross Cotton, and how you eventually wound up taking the reins last fall at the company.
Well, it's a long story, and I know we don't have too much time, so I'll try to give you the 40,000 feet version of how it came to be. So I moved to the area in 89 from Ireland, and I worked for the Marriott Corporation for about 8-9 years and wanted to stay in the Valley, and I started looking for jobs. I had started my own catering business, and that's when I met one of the original partners, Larry Perrault, and then Peter Ross Cotton, who were about to start construction of the Log Cabin. And I got hired as the chef a couple of years later, was made partner. And over the years, Larry was bought out. We bought the Delaney House. Then Peter and I bought the hotel. And last year, I took on a new partner by the name of Frank Demarinis. He's from Sage Engineering, the Roots out in Westfield. He's got quite a few businesses. He's got a major development in the works right now in East Hampton. And a couple weeks ago, we purchased Shermerhorn's in Holyoke, and we're in the midst of the reno redesign, and hopefully that'll launch in a few months. But back to the Log Cabin and Delaney House, that's kind of the snapshot of it. The Delaney House has been well known for years and years and years, decades. And in 2003, we bought the Delaney House, and worked real hard to maintain that reputation. And that's, similar lines, what we plan to do at Shermerhorn's, just deliver quality food with great service and a clean, friendly, beautiful environment. So that's kind of the motto, and that's what we try to aim for, at least.
For most of those years with your partnership with Peter, were you mostly focused on the back of house? And what was the day-to-day like for you over the years?
Yeah, I did a lot of back of the house. In the last 10 years, we also developed Delaney Markets, which in as part of the sales, Peter is still operating the Delaney Markets. Log Cabin Delaney don't necessarily have anything to do with the daily operations of that. We're still obviously good friends and we'll always be there for one another. But if he needs anything, I'm always there. So mainly it was back of the house. I did do quite a bit of work. I think the peers were surprised with the numbers as well as I did. Spent a lot of time, work in the back end in the office. I'd say the only thing I didn't really partake in were some, like insurance bids and security bids and some of the build out at the Big E. Peter took the lead on that type of stuff. So last couple of years been a little learning experience as to picking up where Peter was the main driving force. On the financial end, he definitely was the one that did, daily bookings and, dealing with the financial side, the bank and all the rest of it. So that was kind of new, even though I knew, most of where we were at. Just that undertaking, I guess, has probably been one of the biggest, I wouldn't call it challenges, just one of the newer additions to my weekly schedule.
Do you still have a lot of involvement in the chef role?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's no 9-to-5 job in the restaurant business. The banquets predominantly happen on the weekends. So you're looking at Friday, Saturday, Sundays, and the restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday. You know, Monday, Tuesday tend to be more office days. I spend a few hours in the morning, every morning in the office, and then I'm usually out on the floor for all the events. So, you know, sometimes there'll be a bus tour that's a luncheon event at the log cabin where, you know, I just sneak out and pop in and jump in and out. More there for the execution of events rather than doing all the prep itself. And then in the restaurant world, I have a very strong staff in the restaurant, so I do tend to pop in and out more often. But again, Friday and Saturday nights are gangbuster nights, and that's usually when I'm around and on the floor in all the kitchens. And Sunday brunch is something we fired back up in January with a buffet, and that's been doing really well. So I tend to be around Sunday morning and then pop in again in the evening to them after a few hours of trying to get ahead of Monday morning office issues. So no rest for the wicked.
It's a busy, busy role, definitely. Mm-hmm. What do you feel are the selling points of your properties when it comes to people looking for a place to eat or a small party or a large banquet? I know you have the capacity for all of that. So what would you feel are the main selling points of the Delaney House and the Log Cabin?
You know, quality and consistency are probably the big one too. We always hear about how great our staff are. You know, both front and back of the house, we have an awesome team that delivers that quality and consistency on a daily basis, no matter where it is. Mm. We pride ourselves in being flexible and working with clients to execute a party, whether it's a high-end wine dinner, wedding, corporate events, just to fit what their vision is for the events and use our experience and our, you know, years of executing events and private dining experience to deliver everyone's vision at the end of the day. And bottom line, the first and last guest leaving happy. And quality, I feel like our value is there in Western Mass. There's always, you know, the value for what you serve and what you deliver. There's also a big aspect to that. Western Mass is still well behind, say, Worcester to Boston pricing, even into Connecticut, Northern Connecticut, you know, from Hartford up. We tend to be anywhere from 10 to 20%. You know, less expensive than those areas, and we still deliver great quality, even with similar expenses to all the other markets that I've mentioned. So, you know, overall, I think it's quality. It's the experience. All the facilities offer different experiences and atmospheres, if you would. I mean, you're familiar with the log cabin, but, you know, mountain views, windows, beautiful grounds. Delaney House is a little bit more small dining room. You know, our library is probably the number one requested room. The ballroom has big crystal chandeliers. So a little bit more on the elegant side. So I guess it really depends on what you're looking for. The log cabin also offers the summit, the tented area up top, which gives you more of an outdoor dining experience, an outdoor tented wedding. So that offers, you know, a little bit. I guess we got so many offerings that it's a nice thing. We're able to switch and fit whatever people are looking for.
How's the wedding season been this year? I know that and the log cabin's a destination for that. What kind of wedding bookings have you had over the last year or so?
We've had a really strong fall. You know, thankfully the weather has been very cooperative. So for some of the catering events, when the weather isn't as great, it always is more challenging to do different events. But as far as business goes, the wedding bookings were very strong. We are seeing a slight decline in the number of guests that are invited. So we might still do the same number of events, but the number of people in attendance is down. And I think we're seeing that nationwide in restaurants as well. I mean, people don't have that disposable income to be going out two and three nights a week, or if they go out, they, you know, they're, it's not bigger parties, it's a two top instead of a six top, whatever the case may be. So and in the wedding world, obviously the check average is quite a bit higher, so people are just cutting out a few tables to fit it into their budget. So and like I said, we have so many different offerings, from the Cadillac to the Kia, I like to say, offer people. So, and in the catering world, there's lots of other options, you know, so you can go anywhere from a food truck to a high end plated wedding. So the choice is yours. Lots of options.
You're listening to Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. We're talking today with Mick Cordoff, the chief operator and executive chef at the Log Cabin, Delaney House, and D Hotel and Spa. So speaking of seasons, we're entering now what might be called the holiday party season. Have bookings been busy for that?
Yes, we are filling up real quick on the holiday season, thankfully. That part of the business post-COVID has taken quite a few years to come back. I think a lot of offices are actually going out again and not doing it in the office party environment. They figured out that it's probably a lot easier to go out to eat than try to plan something in the office, because there is a lot of work behind the scenes to all of that. But we are seeing an uptick. I know Thanksgiving is next week, and we are, we're almost sold out at this stage. We have some tables left at the beginning and at the end of the seating, and our to-go offerings are almost at sellout point as well. So, very happy with the numbers. We're really gearing up for an exciting, strong holiday season. The big push before the long winter months, as they say.
Are you getting a good mix of small gatherings and larger ones?
Yeah, we have. Well, at the Delaney House, they tend to do more of the smaller events. They have 13 private dining rooms. You can do anything from 4 to 200 over there in any, you know, different shape you want to do it. They're selling out pretty quick. Obviously, the Saturdays go first. We do brunch with Santa a couple of times in December. That's almost sold out. New Year's, we have a couple of different offerings on New Year's. We have four or five of our own holiday parties open to the public. So if you're a machine shop, or if you're a hairdressing salon or a law office, we have four or five options there, from comedy to buffets to dance parties. So again, trying to think outside the box, it's hard to make everybody happy. But so long as we deliver quality food and a nice environment, nice, elegant environment with some quality entertainment, I think people will still come. And there's a few dates still open on that side of things. So,
yeah, I've always thought that was a really intriguing thing you do, because it kind of gives a small company a chance to have a big holiday party. And have the, as you said, kind of a different options for entertainment. So it's a great thing to offer, I think.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's kind of I would say the one-stop shop of it. You know, you don't have to put a lot of effort. If you want to go to a dance party, for instance, you're not trying to figure out entertainment. You're not trying to make it work for a DJ or karaoke or whatever it is you were trying to plan. Lots of options there, and you know, it's you blend in with a big crowd, and it just has a lot of energy and adds to the holiday spirit. Right after Thanksgiving, we'll start doing our decorating for both facilities, and you know, the staff get into the Christmas holiday mode. It's fun. It's a good energy. I know it's a stressful time of year for everybody, the build up and the, you know, all the presents and all the shopping that has to get done. Adds quite a bit of stress. So the extra hours and the extra income obviously helps the staff, to just be in a better position for that. So it's a good feeling all around.
Are you always kind of looking for ways to keep these gatherings fresh year after year?
Oh yeah. We're always, we have a 5-person sales staff that works you know, endless hours trying to figure out what's the next new hot topic or hot thing in the industry. And people are always looking to change things up. We're doing a drag brunch, which is something new that we've never done before. We've done brunch with Santa. The details on that are still coming in, but brunch with Santa obviously always sells out, and you know, that's just one example. The comedy we've done a few times, that people tend to enjoy that, and it's a different mix of people. Some people love comedy, some people don't. You know, so I think it really depends on what, you know, what your customer, what your office would like, or what the clientele you have that you want to do, hopefully opens up a few avenues for them.
Kind of looking more broadly, I know this is, you know, restaurants and banquets are a fairly competitive sector. What do you feel are the main challenges of this business these days? Is it cost? Is it workforce? What are some of the main things that you have to deal with to kind of be a successful and competitive business in this market?
Well, the costs are, you know, food costs and labor costs right now in the restaurant industry are in dire straits, to be quite frank. I think we have seen such an increase in labor in the last 5-7 years, coming out of COVID even. We, you know, everybody knew that the rates were going, the minimum wage was going up, and this industry tends to be heavily staffed by minimum wage employees. We're not quite as heavy on minimum wage. There's a lot of tipped employees that work within our system. But for instance, in the kitchens, line cooks that were making $18, $20 an hour are well over that now. And you're looking at 10 to 20% increases in labor numbers that are really hard to make up. And then when you compound that with we're a main steak and high-end seafood place, and those two lines have just gone up 15-20% in the last few years, and we, you know, there's no way around a good cut of meat. I mean, it is what it is. We try to keep our prices as competitive as possible, but we do look at it, you know, monthly more or less, and sometimes we have to pass the cost on to the consumer. Sometimes you have lost leaders on your menu, and you just got to hope that you make it up in other avenues, whether it's them having another cocktail or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I would say labor and food costs are the two biggest nuisances these days. They've always been the challenging numbers for restaurants and banquet facilities, as far as I can remember. But the cost these days, the increase in those costs are just incredible. When you look back historically, it's getting harder and harder for restaurants to make a buck. And you know, I think consumers look at it and they see a $40 steak and they're like, oh wow, $40. They're not looking at everything that goes into getting that steak. When 25 of it is going for the steak, it doesn't leave a lot for the restaurant to make a few bucks on it. So I think you know, with the big boom in the cooking networks and all that, and everybody really getting into educating themselves on food, and experimenting in their own homes and understanding quality. I think there was a perception there on high-end food. And I think people going to the grocery stores are now really starting to see and feel those expenses. I mean, the grocery stores, when you walk around, the price of chicken and eggs and any commodity item, they're all up well over 10%. Sure. So I do think there's becoming a more level understanding of the expenses that restaurants are feeling these days. I mean, even the big boxes, you know, McDonald's and the rest of them, they're, I don't know if you've got a Happy Meal lately, but you know, they're not $2.99 anymore.
No, they're not.
They're well over double, if not triple. So unfortunately, you know, the little guy can't go up. I can't go up double my pricing. I got to be competitive in the market. And it's just a fact of life. It is what it is. I think a lot of banquet facilities have all kind of stayed within range to offer, you know, good value for what we serve. I'm confident that things are going to work themselves out. They always do. We tend to do probably a 2-4% price increase annually. This year, we're not looking at going up too much. We don't think that the consumer really wants it or can afford it for that matter. So we're just being very cautious on pricing, I guess.
Just to wrap up and to still kind of taking the broader look at the business, are you looking to expand? I know you mentioned the Schermerhorn's purchase. Mm-hmm. Are you looking to expand your offerings or services in other ways in the near future at any of the properties?
Well, you know, we have a spa at the hotel that we continue to look at and what we offer there. So that's been on the kind of the front burner for a little while. Schermerhorn's is obviously going to be it's going to take quite a bit of energy to get that up and running in the near future. And then there's plans to do another restaurant in East Hampton at Frank's project in East Hampton on the housing project. When that would happen, I'm not quite sure. I would say it's probably a year and a half to 2 years out, but to build a restaurant like what we're planning, it would take all of that. The hotel itself is going to close in January for a couple of weeks for a facelift. So we're super excited about that. It's been, you know, the log cabin got a facelift last year. We've done a lot with the grounds this year. Delaney House, we've done cosmetic work within the rooms, all the rooms. And the hotel is kind of just, it's time to give it a refresh. And we're super excited about the plans. Yeah, we're just going to close for 10 days and hopefully get it done in 10 days. Mostly cosmetic with a fresh look and a few new tweaks to certain areas, but really excited about that one. We've been working on the rooms for the last year, room by room, giving them all updates. So my wife runs the hotel for me, and she's been, you know, working endlessly on concept and design and it's been a really fun one. I was in the hotel industry with Marriott. I grew up within the hotel industry in Ireland, so it hasn't really changed a whole lot. It's all about heads in the beds and just delivering quality service in a clean room, you know, with some great staff and a good breakfast. We offer a full breakfast at the hotel every morning. So quality, 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 and that's the name of the game.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks, Mick, so much for spending a few minutes with me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Anytime. My pleasure.
And thanks to all of you for tuning into Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West. I'm Joe Bednar, the editor of Business West, and we'll see you next time.